Lord God, we ask you to speak, for we are listening. Amen. How do we hear God? At the moment, we are in the process of a discernment exercise at St. Philip's, a time for all of us to be thinking, praying, pondering where God is taking St. Philip's next. It's an exercise for every person who considers that St. Philip's is their church family. It's a listening exercise, a time set aside to hear from God. But the trouble is, in Christian circles, we throw this phrase around, listening to God and hearing from God, so casually that it can make it feel like it's just as if we went home and turned on the radio and listened to some music. It was that easy. When I was first finding my faith for myself as a young person, I used to hear my friends and leaders who I admired talking about God guiding them and hearing from God. And I used to think, what am I missing? Am I supposed to have this voice in my head telling me things? Because I'm pretty certain it's just me up there and all my jumbled thoughts. And the Bible describes people's encounters with God, and they're normally in physical form, with angels or big dramatic things happening, partings of Red Sea or immaculate conceptions, and those things weren't happening in my life either. Were other people more holy than me? Were they more spiritual than me? Or was God just not interested in talking to me? These are all the natural thoughts of someone who thinks that they are on the outside of some great secret. I just want to say, if you've ever had any of those thoughts, there is no secret, trust me, but there is perhaps some learning that we need to do. So today, we have two examples of people hearing from God. And although they do fall into that category of audible voices and God in the flesh, they also have something to say to us today about what can hinder us or help us to hear from God. They can help us to learn how we hear from God. Because the thing to notice today is that both Samuel and Nathaniel have something in common. Their preconceived ideas very nearly prevent them from hearing God and having an encounter with God. Let's start with Samuel. Samuel is a young lad, at this time maybe in his early teens, but from the moment he was weaned, which sources vary in how old that was, but probably between 3 and 5, so very little, he's been living in the temple. His mother Hannah prayed to God in desperation for a child so that she would no longer feel the shame of having never conceived. And Samuel was her answer to her prayer. And so she pledged to dedicate Samuel to God to serve in the temple. So Samuel has been there since he was weaned and was brought up by Eli, the priest. In the section that we heard today, we hear that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, the word here refers to scripture and to audible encounters with God. When God spoke to individuals, and we hear that in Samuel's time, at the very beginning, Jim read, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. Now, we have a slight advantage over Samuel, because we are in the 21st century. We do have the word, and it has been made flesh in Jesus. We've just had a very significant festival marking that very thing, the word made flesh, come to earth in Jesus. And through Jesus, we can learn about the word of God, because the word has been made into physical examples through the actions of Jesus. We're just going to pause for a moment and look at that word revealed as well, because I think it goes back to that idea of there's this big secret. Revealed to me brings up an image of a magician with a big velvet curtain that they've just torn aside, and you see the magic that has happened. It's sort of like something big has been revealed, some strange magic. But I just wonder if revealed actually just means learned, understood. How many of you have been a teacher at some point in your life? And by that, I mean in the broadest sense of being a parent and teaching children or teaching others. There are a vast majority, as I look out, of people who have taught other people. Have you ever had that moment when you've been teaching someone a new concept and then they get it, the penny drops, and you see them go, oh! It's like it's been revealed to them. Suddenly, they understand. I think that is what it means when we talk about God's word being revealed to us. Those, oh, moments where we get it. Now, unfortunately, they don't all happen that we get one moment and then we understand everything about God and faith. It doesn't happen like that through life. As St. Paul tells us, at the moment in life, we see as if through a glass darkly or a dim mirror. We will only understand in full at the end times, and we'll have that grand, oh, it all makes sense moment. But we can still learn now. We can still have those moments of revelation as we learn now. We can learn about Jesus. We can learn about the Word of God. The best place is in the Bible. We have this wonderful account of Jesus, many accounts of Jesus that we can compare and we can learn about. We can learn about Jesus for ourselves, reading the Bible by ourselves and learning more about Jesus. Or we could read the Bible with someone else and talk about it. We can ask questions, have someone else reveal God's word to you. At St. Philip's, we do that on a Sunday. At the moment, we have read the Bible, and I am supposed to be revealing something to you in this moment. It's what we try and do on a Sunday morning. When we have our all-age services, we do it much more interactively. We do it together and we learn from each other as we talk about God's word. But actually, just doing that on a Sunday is going to give us a quite patchy understanding. It's a little bit like going to school once a week. Our children are never going to learn everything we want to teach them if they just went to school once a week. So some people like to read the Bible every day, and they might have a commentary or someone's words that they read alongside it. It helps us to understand a little bit more, have the Bible, have the Word of God revealed to us each day. As a little aside, those of you who have been doing that for many years, have you always heard from the same person, the same source, the same editors? Is it time to hear from someone new, maybe, to reveal something different? Other people go to home groups to learn together in small groups. Remarkably soon, considering it's just been Christmas, we will be in Lent, in only a few weeks, really. And we'll have a Lent course where there'll be an opportunity to come together in a small group to look at the Bible, to study it together, to learn more, to have the Word of God revealed to us. And the whole purpose of this, the reason I go through all those examples, is that the more we learn about Jesus, the Word of God, the more we begin to see the world a little bit differently. We might think about the world a little bit differently. We might engage with the world and with others differently. The Word changes us. That might be the written word, it might be Jesus, but it changes us. It's a really subtle way in which God speaks to us, perhaps prompting us to react in a different way to a situation or to use different words when we're speaking to somebody. But God's word, the more we spend time with it, begins to be written on our hearts and changes how our hearts beat. So this is one of the ways that we actually hear from God. We hear God speak. And the way we learn what might be God's way in this world of choices. Let's begin to move on to look at Nathaniel. Because for Nathaniel, it wasn't a lack of understanding. It wasn't needing to have the word revealed to him as such. It was not his fully knowing God. He was an Israelite. He was a faithful Jew. He knew his scriptures, so he thought. But for Nathanael, he had preconceived ideas of how God was going to act. And it almost closed him off from an encounter with the living word. Nathanael was prejudiced. We know that he was from Cana. We find that out later in John's Gospel. And for some reason, although we have no historical evidence why, he had a problem with people from Nazareth. They seemed to think that there was nothing good could ever come from there. So although he had this idea that God was coming, he had an idea of where God was going to appear, where this Messiah was going to come. And it was definitely not from Nazareth. I don't know if you can imagine in your head somewhere that you might think, well, God definitely won't come again from there. Nathanael's prejudice had the potential to stop him from seeing what was happening right now, what God was doing right now. God was changing the perceived ways in which he was going to act. And what I love is the response that Philip has with Nathanael's negativity and prejudice was just, come and see. I'm not going to argue out of that. Just come and see. It allowed Nathanael's eyes to be opened and to get over his prejudice. I think that we too, no matter how long we've been a follower of Jesus, can learn something from both Samuel and Nathanael in their moment of encounter with God. We too are really easily capable of blinding ourselves to seeing God at work through either not understanding in full or in having a preconceived idea of what God is doing in the world and where God is acting. It might not be anything so obvious as prejudice, but it might be simply not catching up with the world and where it's at and what God is actually doing and where God is working. But it's a truism that unless we arrive in the present, we cannot journey into the future. Unless we are humble enough to learn and to change, we might miss those encounters with God, those moments and places where the word has come alive. Sometimes, just like for Nathanael, hearing from God is as simple as being willing to come and see and have our eyes opened, to look around and see where the kingdom of God is present. Where do we see the Spirit growing? Where do we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control? Where do we see life happening? And it's worth stopping and taking time to come and see, because it may not be in the places that we previously thought. It may be that actually God is doing something new, and our preconceived idea of what God is going to do has changed. We haven't caught up. We need to take time to humbly, honestly, and openly look and be prepared to be surprised by God's actions. We need to hear God say, come and see, and be willing to go and see. So, hearing from God is not necessarily having that external auditory voice speaking from the heavens. It might be an internal voice, honed by spending time with God and God's words. An internal voice, or even a feeling that you have, that says, with everything that I know about God, this seems to be the right way. This seems to be the right path. And the more time we spend with God, being open, being honest, being willing to be taught, being willing to see and hear, the more we can begin to trust the instincts that we then have and those feelings that we have and understand them to be prompts from God, guidance from God. But it takes us being immersed in God's word, in who God is, in taking time to pray to say, God, open my eyes. Let me see. Where are you moving? This is what we mean by discerning. This is the taking the time, like Samuel, to say, here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening. And then pausing, open to hear God, not just rushing on. I've said it, I'll rush on. But actually pausing and allowing God to communicate with us, maybe through what we see, maybe through a thought that's come into our mind, maybe through a feeling that is growing within us. I'm not ruling out that there may be an auditory voice. How awesome would that be if we actually heard from God as an auditory voice? I think it happens. It would be wonderful if that happened. But there are other ways that we hear from God. So if you haven't ever had that auditory voice in your life, that doesn't mean God does not want to speak to you. As I said when I began, we are doing this discerning process together. We're calling it, in fact, discerning together. Because these are moments for us to come and see as a church. To come and see what God is doing in Romsey Town. To come and see what God is doing in our own church, where the Spirit is flourishing and growing, where we see those fruits growing, where we see life growing. And we do it together because it's a way that we can then discern what we think we're hearing. We can sort of test it with each other. That's really interesting that you had that feeling, because I've also had that feeling growing in me. And someone else goes, oh, me too, that's interesting. Or someone else is going, well, I've seen this. And they're like, me too, I've really noticed that. When there's more than one of us who has that same feeling or thought, that's something worth noticing. That God's speaking to us. So we do it together. And I don't want anyone to think that they're not qualified to do that work of listening and discerning. Remember Samuel. He was a young lad in the temple. He was not the priest. He was a young lad, and he was the one that heard from God and had a message for Eli the priest. Remember Nathanael. He was a bigot who was already prejudiced against Jesus because of where he came from. Yet he was the first disciple to call Jesus the Son of God, to recognize him, to see what God was doing. Whatever stage of our faith journey, we can be used by God to reveal where the kingdom is being built. And conversely, do not presume, because you've done it once before and you've perhaps heard God discerning and guiding you as to where we're going, that the same thing will happen again. Nathanael had to learn to put aside those preconceptions that he had and come faithfully, openly, humbly to Jesus to come and see. So we are all qualified to hear from God if we pause and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And we also all need to recognize our own lack of understanding and putting aside our preconceived ideas. My prayer for us this year is that as individuals and as a church, we will grow in this maturity of faith, to be able to listen and see and to discern where God is wanting us to share that wonderful good news, that gospel news, that we have a God who loves us, who can rescue us from the darknesses of this world, and who can guide us into a better way to live, a kingdom way to live. And as we grow in that maturity of faith, we will be equipped to share it with the wider world. Amen.